Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
And you guys made it 3 straight tonight against another difficult team. What can you say about the performance?
I thought it was a real gutsy win. This was one of those games we knew was going to be hard. We're playing really well right now. It was going to be a game of a little margins, and we've lost a little margin battle over the course of the season. I think we're growing, we're learning, and I thought tonight, we won that little battle, just enough to win the game. It was a hard hockey game, and I'm proud of our group for just staying with it all game.
Cancel every concert. Every event, plan every event, get tickets to every concert, and cancel every single one of them. Because clearly, it did something for this Predators team. The Preds win their third straight game on this road trip, taking down the LA Kings 4-1 last night with a couple of empty netters to end it. Predators have looked fantastic over these last three games, and it's been against good teams. The defending Stanley Cup champion Vegas Golden Knights, the LA Kings, that are a playoff cup contending team. And then, of course, St. Louis is to start off the road trip. And St. Louis is kind of in the same boat that you are. Important points that you got on the road in St. Louis. And the Predators continue this streak on the road. Caroline Billy D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. In 1 hour, we will have a very special guest in a very exciting programming announcement, so stay tuned for that. Of course, we will have a very special edition of Ask D. Mace at 12:30 with a special guest. So all of that coming up in 1 hour. But the Predators are the story of the day. Willie Donick joins us. Willie, are you in L.A. still? Are you in San Jose? I can't keep track of you.
Well, Caroline, you may not remember the song. D. Mace probably does. Mm-hmm. We know the way to San Jose. We made it to San Jose last night.
Late
Dionne
trip,
Warwick.
Sure.
This is not the psychic hotline, though. Remember Dionne Warwick? When she got a little older, she started hosting those 1-900 calls on the Psychic Friends Network.
Yeah, man.
That was pretty spooky. She took some people's money.
Oh, a lot.
I'm sure she gave great advice, or the people you talked to. Who knows what was going on with that? But we made it up here. It's an interesting yo-yo because we come right back down to Anaheim to play on Sunday.
Full California road trip. My goodness.
Yeah. So up and down the coast here. So it's beautiful up here, but a great win last night, as you guys mentioned. Just a hard fought, tight checking game, not a lot of scoring chances for either team, but it was really fun to watch. It was very competitive, some timely goals, and then some really timely saves from Juuse Saros. He was on display. Some key saves on a couple of breakaways where you could just tell he looked like himself, and that's a great sign.
Hey, this is what we've been looking for from Juuse Saros, and it seems like everything is starting to click. Colton Sisson's had an awesome game. It just seems like it. One night is one person. It's a Novak, and now it's a Colton Sissons. Juuse is playing well. This team is on a roll right now, and hopefully, and this was, and we talked about this yesterday, Willie. This is a stretch of the season. These next 4 or 5 games, where they can, position themselves a little bit closer to that number one wild card spot. And they are taking advantage of it. Some good wins against some really good teams. And in order to fight your way back up there, you're going to have to beat those teams that are in front of you. And the Nashville Predators are doing just that. So I'm with Caroline. Cancel every concert.
All of it. Every single
every
one.
Every team bonding thing. that they have coming up, tell them we're going to go, and then right before you leave, we're canceling everything. We're canceling it all. Willie, we're canceling it. You can't go either, Willie. So everybody's on their P's and Q's the next game. But, no, jokingly. But, no, this team, for whatever reason, it seems like they've been able to regroup. And maybe, you know, there's a lot to say about taking a team that has been struggling and taking them on the road and them bonding in that way, not necessarily going to a function or anything, but it's just, you know, how it is, Carolina Willis, me against the world sort of attitude. Mm-hmm. We're on the road, we're focused in, we're locked in, and we have no distractions. So this might have been, you know, a blessing in disguise for the Nashville Predators.
And I do think it's encouraging the way in which the Predators have won each of these last three games. It wasn't because of heroics from Gus Nyquist, Philip Forsberg, and Ryan O'Reilly, which is really a majority of how the Predators have won a lot of their games so far this season. It's what we've been asking for, is where's the secondary scoring? Where's the depth scoring? Where are the young guys? When are they going to step up? If Ryan O'Reilly or Philip Forsberg or Gus Nyquist aren't able to find the net, then who will? And really, these last three games, the story has been the secondary scoring. Mm-hmm. The story has not been a Philip Forsberg or a Ryan O'Reilly. Mike Marcinkowski, Colton Sissons, Yakov Trenin with an empty netter. Like, those were who found the net last night. So that's been encouraging to see. But I will say, you know, whenever you have a stretch of a few days, especially this time of year, when it's beautiful outside like it is today, sunny, 60 degrees, it's beautiful, you know, in the back of your mind, the rain's coming, or the cold's coming. Like, especially this time of year when we have fake spring, it's, I'm not going to get too excited about this beautiful 60-degree sunny day, because I know in just a couple of days it's going to drop back down to the low 40s and it's going to be gray and it's going to be rainy. I'm going to enjoy it for now, but I'm scared for what's coming. That's how I feel about the Predators. Because what have we said all season long? When they zig, they zag, they get on a high, they get on a low, they get on a heater, and then they cool down. They're good, then they're bad. We're encouraged, then we're discouraged. I am so scared for these next couple of games against teams that the Predators should beat. Teams that on paper the Predators have looked better than. I am so scared that the Predators have gone on these last three games and have looked fantastic. UC Saros has been lights out. You've gotten the secondary scoring that we've been asking for. I am so scared that they're going to turn around and have an absolute dud at the worst possible time, because they've zigged. I know the zag is coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm so terrified that that's going to come this weekend, because I don't know how many games until the trade deadline.
Well, it is the pred deadline.
It is the pred line. I don't know how many games that this Predators team can afford to lose before the trade deadline. You are now tied with St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Barry Trotz went on with Jared Stillman earlier this week and said, yeah, of course this road trip has a lot to do with what we might do at the trade deadline. Of course we're going to be looking at that. The first three games of the road trip have been incredibly fun to watch, and the Predators have looked so good, but it's not over yet. The zag is coming, and I am terrified for the zag.
I think there's going to be some zags, but I think there's you got to hope that there's one or two more zigs than zags, because really that's what these teams are. The Blues, the Predators, the Kraken, the Flames, and the Flames are on the verge, perhaps, it looks to me, of doing what the Predators did last year, and that is trading a number of veterans between now and the trade deadline. They look exactly like the Predators did last year. It really looks like they're going to go in that direction. So that's a team to keep your eye on. But, you know, of course, as we saw last year, after the Predators traded all those guys, they started playing well, and they stayed in the race. So it doesn't mean the Flames are going to drop out, but again, you're in a five-team race, but they're all the same kind of team. Flawed teams that have some good things about them. We're going to talk to Shayna Goldman a little bit later in the show. She did a great job on Dimitri's podcast, Filipovic, the PDO podcast, about just kind of where all of these teams are. And the Predators today, if people didn't see it, got ranked eighth in the Athletics prospect pool rankings. So that's a really good ranking. And that ranking, by the way, doesn't include, for different reasons, right? They have a specific set of rules of who is a prospect and who's not. If you've spent a certain amount of time in the NHL, I guess you can't still be a prospect. But age-wise, Juuso Parsonen and Luke Evangelista would be in the age of prospects, but they're not. They're not even in that eighth ranking. So, just for an example, there they have a deep pool of prospects. So it looks good down the road, whereas the Blues, their prospect rankings are not nearly as good, and they've got some guys in contract situations. So we'll talk to Shayna about some of this stuff. But guys, I get it. These are two scary games coming up, right? They've already lost twice to the Ducks. The Ducks and the Sharks have each won 5 of their last 10 games, right? The worst teams going end up winning at least one of every 4 games during the course of the season. So you have to avoid those traps, and that's the challenge after, you know, riding high after beating 3 good teams. Can you stay focused and stay on this game that they're playing? Because it's a good game. Or, as you guys mentioned, everybody's contributing. That's what you need to do to be successful this weekend.
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, I know they have 2 games. The next 2 games are against teams that are, you know, frankly, out of it. It seems to be San Jose and Anaheim. But then they had, 4 or 5 back here in Nashville. And I just think this is a critical point for the Predators. And I understand the trade deadline is looming. But I just think in regards to where this team is headed, I think this stretch from here on out is going to be critical for this team, because they can either go one of 2 ways, obviously, and that is to continue to push and maybe even push past that last wild card spot. Or if they don't take care of business, like, you know, Caroline said, the zig and the zag, then they can find themselves falling back even further. And why beat, you know, these really good teams to only lose to teams that are out of it? You know, but I know that it happens in sports, you know.
And weird things happen exactly. On any given night in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
And, yeah, go ahead, Billy.
Ottawa just beat Dallas last night, for example. There's 1 or 2 of those every night.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen sometimes. But overall, you do need, like, if you take a look, and Derek, you mentioned it, you got a 5-game homestand after this road trip. But you've got some of these teams, and you're scared to say, you know, the old S word,
exactly.
Should be, but you've got home games against Ottawa, Montreal, Buffalo. You've got Columbus twice. You've got another game with the Blackhawks. You've got this weekend, right? San Jose and Anaheim. If you're probably not going to go undefeated. I hate to say it, right? You're going to have that bad feeling one of these days. There's going to be a show, and Caroline's going to start the show going, "What happened to the Predators last night?" And then Jared's going to go, "How could you lose to the Sharks?" You know, something like that. But it is going to happen. But you hope it doesn't happen more than once or twice, right? For all those games I just said. But you've got an opportunity. I was looking at the math. They've got 25 games left. If you win about 14 of those 25, with maybe a couple of the losses being in overtime, 2, 3, 4, which would be great. You know, you're going to be right in that 92-93 point range, which is where they ended up being last year. But most of the projections would have that grabbing that last spot. 92-93, I think, would do it. Now, if a team rips off 8 in a row, that might change the math a little bit. Is that realistic for this team? It depends on what they do at the deadline, right? If you change, if you trade Juuse Saros, that's that probably changes the formula a lot. But if you could get some consistent play like Saros is capable of, if you bottled what he did last night and in St. Louis up, and you get that more often than not, I kind of believe they have the opportunity to get there. But again, what's the real goal? What's the number one priority? Is to strengthen yourself for the next couple of years. Get back up into that contending phase. You're deep in the roster. Find ways to add to what you have.
What did you say, Willie? There's 20, 25 games left in the season?
25 left.
25
so I
left.
Did the math. If they were to go 14-8-3, 14-8-3, which would be good, right? But that's not lights out or anything, but is that realistic? That's doable, and that would give you 93. So if they went 13-8-4, that's 92. You know, you just start doodling the different ways to do that. Is that possible? Sure, that's possible. And so, then you have to hope that nobody goes on a huge heater and one-ups you.
So what you're saying, they're going to need probably more than likely 93 points.
Well, I think that's on the high side. I think there's a scenario where 90 or 91 could do it. There's been some projections that have like 88 or 89. I really think that that would be very low. But I think you have to try to shoot as high as you can. Obviously, 95 or 96, I think, would do it for sure. But I think most projections would have in that low 90s a really good opportunity to get in.
Because you bring up the 25 games left in the season, my question is, should we be talking about 25 games or should we be talking about 7 games? 25 games that are left in the season or the 7 games that you have until the trade deadline? Because, of course, when you look at it through the 25-game lens, you can afford to have some highs and some lows. There's still plenty of hockey that's left to be played. But you still have to make some really major decisions before you get to that 25. And now Barry said, I will be looking a lot at this road trip to see how we've played, not just the wins and the losses and the points. And those are obviously incredibly important, positioning yourself into a playoff spot once you get to the trade deadline, but more so how they've played. And I think they've played incredibly well. But again, like I said, the road trip's not over. There's still games left to be played. There's still points, incredibly valuable points that you need to get. You are now tied with St. Louis, and it's in a very, very tight bubble race. So I'm looking at it through a 7-game lens. How many games in these next 7 games can you really afford to drop? How many games on this road trip can you afford to lose? Is it like you lose to the Sharks tomorrow night and Barry's like, all right, sorry, you know, we've seen what we've done some great things after the canceled U2 trip, but we can't afford to lose any of these games? And also, how much should you be looking at the road trip of a kind of line of demarcation for the trade deadline? Is that really the smartest thing to do? Do you want to say, okay, we win a majority of the games on the road trip and we don't sell? We lose games on the road trip and we do sell. I don't think that's necessarily the best way to look at it. And I'm not saying that that's how Barry Trotz is looking at it. I think Barry Trotz is a very good general manager and a very reasonable person. He sees what his team is. He sees the rest of the league. He knows what's realistic. That probably the most realistic thing is you either barely make the playoffs or you just barely miss it. Go ahead.
No, I think it's just a feel. And, you know, I don't know if you agree with that, Willie. Because we've heard Barry, you know, sort of talk about this road trip or this, you know, these games before the trade deadline as sort of measuring, you know, what they may do, what they may not do. But I think it's also a feel. I think if, you know, you come out of this road trip winning more games than not and you feel your team is headed in the right direction, then you're more inclined to add rather than to subtract from your team. But if you're winning games and you it's still looking bad, then maybe you think, well, maybe we need to, you know, move some players, add some new players here and there to see if we can kind of get over, you know, whatever mishaps we may encounter during this period. So I think part of it is a feel, understanding your team, knowing your team, and looking at what your team projects to be based upon what you see.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. The priorities to me are to strengthen the roster for the long term, not for the short term. Mm-hmm. That's the number one priority. And that priority is over making the playoffs this year. Making the playoffs this year would be great, but the first priority is strengthening the roster for the long term. And so that's where the Soros question becomes a huge question. But, you know, after a game like that last night, that's where you're kind of sitting there going, do I really want to trade this guy? I mean, that's why the price can't drop in my mind. If somebody gives you the golden package where you're saying, I can't refuse that, that's one thing. But aside from that, you see last night what a UC Soros could do for you. And so, remember this. Admirals won the 18th straight game. Some of these guys are on the verge of being ready. Somewhere in there, you've got to leave some room for a few of these guys to come up.
Yeah.
And help you, whether it's this year or next year. So with the pending free agents, we talked about a lot of them yesterday with Elliott, but like Tommy Novak, who played another really solid game last night. Yakov Trenin, who's played three excellent games on this road trip. Aside from the brain cramp last night where he tripped the guy in the neutral zone and gave him a 5-on-3, his numbers have been really good these three games. He would be a useful piece for a contender that you could probably grab a draft pick for. What do you want to do with him? The defenseman situation, which we talked about all year, Fabro, Carrier, Barry, those guys, you know, somewhere in there you got to clear out some space so a Spencer Stastny can come up. A Tanner Molendijk next year maybe can get into the picture a little bit. So these are the things to keep in mind. And that is probably completely aside from whether they win the next 5 out of 7 or lose the next 5 out of 7. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think all of those have got to be a priority over do you make the playoffs this year, which is a weird way of looking at it.
But
because they'll be a big underdog. Whoever gets that spot will be a big underdog in the first round.
Right. And if you find yourself in the playoffs, no matter what you do at the trade deadline, let's say you sell a couple of pieces. Let's say Yakov Trenin and Alexander Carrier, you feel like you get a good enough return for those two. You decided to trade those two, and then you still find yourself in the playoffs. I think that's kind of the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. And you get a playoff series at Bridgestone,
exactly.
And it's going to be an absolute blast. It's going to be fun. I don't think anyone expects the Predators to get to the next round of the playoffs, but
you never know.
And if you do, then great, wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, crazy things happen in this league. But I do think that the last thing that you want to do is leverage the future for the right now. Mm-hmm. This team is not focused on the right now. They haven't been focused on the right now. The right approach is focusing on the next, you know, 5 years, the next 10 years of how to build this team into a cup-contending team. They're not there right now, but the focus is ultimately getting there. And to bring up the Admirals, did I hear that there was a SportsCenter Top 10 Yaroslav Askarov feature yesterday on SportsCenter?
I know this, that during the broadcast last night, and I was helping with the radio, so I didn't see when it aired, but I was told that they did a Askarov highlight package. He made a spectacular save yesterday, and I wouldn't doubt that that would be a SportsCenter Top 10. But yeah, he's continuing to get the attention of people around the league.
Superstar.
I saw it this morning when I woke up.
Rated as the number one prospect in that athletic prospect pool for the Predators, not surprisingly.
Superstar Askarov. Superstar Askarov. I don't know. I was trying to do something.
Superstar.
Trying to do. There you go.
Yeah.
We'll work on it.
Askarov.
Yeah, Askarov. There we go.
There we go.
Askarov. Thank you, Willie.
Okay. All right.
Hey.
I wonder if that one will stick. Get the t-shirt.
We're gonna make it stick. We're gonna make. Hey, Dr. Crane, you figure out a way to make this stick.
We'll do.
Hashtag Askarov.
I'll make it stick like Elmer's glue.
We'll make it thing. And the Predators win their third straight, 3-0 on the road trip. As Max Hurst would say, we're 3-0 on the road trip. But I am terrified. I'm terrified of the Zag because they're zigging. And I'm nervous that the Zag is coming soon. But we mentioned Yaroslav Askarov. You mentioned UC Saros. What's the Predators' future at the goaltending position? What's the Predators', what should be the Predators' approach at the trade deadline? Chris Mason will join us coming up next. I'm excited to hear C. Mace's perspective of what Askarov is doing. How do you know when the goalie is ready? What's really the biggest hurdle going from the AHL level to the NHL level? Because we've heard Barry Trotz say, well, we want Askarov to get some NHL experience. So we'll chat with Chris Mason coming up next. A very exciting programming and station announcement with a special guest or two coming up at the top of the hour at noon. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Chris Mason, and now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekman by Mason.
And goal, number 3, Chris Mason.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mays. We are broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Joining us now is Chris Mason, C-Mays. C-Mays, appreciate you for joining us. The Predators 3-0 on this West Coast plus St. Louis road trip, and they've looked great in these past three games. And I've said, look, cancel all the concerts. Plan all the fun stuff and cancel all of it, because clearly the message was received, and it seems like that was the kick in the butt that this team may have needed.
Yeah, it was kind of funny to think, because last time I talked to you that, you know, they just lost that game against Dallas. They're going into, you know, these three really tough games. St. Louis was the hottest team in the league. Obviously, Vegas, we know how good they are and how well they play at home. And then L.A., who is another team that's been really good. Looks like they're, you know, kind of got a stranglehold on that first wild card spot, maybe competing for a top three position. And it's just been a pleasure to watch this group play the way that they, you know, want to play. They say they're going to play. And we talked about a lot of the inconsistency. I see the depth scoring last two games. It's been a different goal scorer. I think the top lines only got one of the goals, and it was an empty netter, Nyquist in Vegas. So this team is just, it's crazy. One minute you think, all right, we're selling everybody and, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. Maybe this is a good thing. They'll get, you know, they got a bunch of UFAs, and now they're playing themselves back into competing, you know, for that wild card spot. But they've been really good.
And as good as the Preds have looked in these last three games, no one, and I mean no one, has looked as good as the Milwaukee Admirals have. I mean, Yaroslav Askarov has been absolutely lights out. He's got five shutouts in this 14-game winning streak of his own, and then an 18-game winning streak for the Milwaukee Admirals. Just to kind of put into perspective, from your goalie perspective, what Yaroslav Askarov is doing and just how impressive it has been.
It's been crazy. They're on. That's, you know, that's a really great storyline, and I'm sure really fun to be a part of. You know, you get on a streak like that. I've never been on a streak like that, and not many people ever do. It's something that, you know, obviously a massive rarity. And he's such a fun goaltender to watch. You know, you've seen all the highlights and him going out and, you know, poke checking guys on breakaways, scrambling to get back up, and his athleticism. He's really aggressive. Sometimes he gets caught out of position, but he finds ways to battle back in and make saves. And I mean, that whole, you know, Milwaukee Admirals program is a bunch of great storylines. The young players, Willie just texted me, The Athletic just ranked the Predators eighth in terms of prospect depth, and they left a lot of good players off the list. So they're in a really, really good spot. Cody Hodgson just scored his first goal in 6 years as a pro after, you know, overcoming his medical issues and getting cleared to play again. And it's just so fun to watch. And it's got to feel good as an organization. I think our fan base is really getting on board and starting to pay attention to, you know, that team and the future of the Nashville Predators. And it's been great.
Chris Mason is with us. A few scenarios that we've tossed around, but the future of the goaltending position. One thing that we talked about yesterday, one thing that Barry Trotz has mentioned, is making sure that Askarov is ready and not bringing him up too fast, not giving him too much too quickly. How do you know when a goaltender is ready for the NHL level?
Well, I think, you know, maturity, everybody obviously is ready at different times. I think ability-wise, he's definitely, you know, there's no question. When I saw him as in the first summer prospect camp, I could just tell he's special. He's gifted athletically. His skill level, you know, is there already at an NHL level. But, you know, mentally, I think it's a lot to process. And as that pressure of playing in the NHL, you need to, I think, get the experience that he's getting there, be the guy, get that confidence. You know, I don't think he's short on confidence, but, you know, to prove yourself at a pro level, play the amount of games that you need to play in order to develop. And, you know, now he's getting to a point where he's dominating. But again, I think when you're under the pressure every single game and every single night in the NHL, it's different. I've seen, you know, a lot of guys that have been considered as talented as Askarov come in too young and just never really materialized into into a stud 1A goaltender. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think if you handle that situation correctly, which the Nashville Predators have really done with at any position, but especially more at goaltending. You know, Pekka played, spent a lot of time in Milwaukee. Saros played a lot of time in Milwaukee. Both guys were probably ready ability-wise sooner than they came up into the National Hockey League, but they did it the right way. The maturity level is there, the understanding of how it's done, especially for a European or a Russian goalie in North America. But, you know, he's ready.
We'll talk with Chris Mason, talking about the Nashville Predators in their big win last night versus the Los Angeles Kings, and they've been on this heater as of lately. I guess they're doing well down in Milwaukee, and it's trickled up. It usually trickles down, but it's trickling up to the Nashville Predators as far as their winning ways. Now, when you see guys like Colton Sissons, Yakov Trenin, Novak, guys like that contributing the way they have been contributing over this winning streak, what does that tell you about the Nashville Predators at this point?
Well, that tells me that they have a chance. Mm-hmm. They have a chance to get that. I feel it's one wild card spot. There's 5-6 teams that are competing for that second wild card spot. And when you see that, they've got a chance because, you know, we talked about maybe riding that top line a little too much, depending on them. They carried this team for a big chunk of the season offensively and, you know, put them in a position to compete for that spot. But the reality of it is they're not going to get in if they don't get those contributions from guys like Sissons, who's had just a great year. You know, Novak coming around after his injury took him a while. Cody Glass starting to play better. They need those guys to score. And Yakov Trenin, again, I think he's had a great year in terms of the way he's created chances, but the offense is he's been kind of hot and cold and a little bit inconsistent in the production aspect of it. The young players, same thing. You know, Evangelista looking really good. And like any young player in the league, you know, they're going to have their roller coaster, their ups and downs. But they need those guys. And, you know, that's what happens when you get that. You know, you get a chance to beat everybody. And the power play's, you know, kind of been up and down lately. They got to get that to go. But if you can get those guys to score and just spread it around a little more consistency, then you're going to fight for that spot.
Do you think it's more so of a feel with Barry Trotz moving forward now, right before the trade deadline? Obviously, this stretch before the trade deadline is going to be huge in regards to wins and losses and where they sit in that last wild card spot. But do you think as far as moves that they can potentially make, whether adding or subtracting, is it more of a feel than anything?
Yeah, you know, it's tough because I don't know. My answer is all speculation. Mm-hmm. You know, because, I mean, if you think about after that Dallas game, you're like, oh, all right, selling everybody, any UFA, you're, you know, I'll listen, I'll take calls. All of a sudden you have these three games, you're like, ooh, kind of back in the mix here a little bit. So I think there's a plan in place. I don't see them, you know, adding unless you're going to add somebody that's a young player, you know, that can contribute now, that's going to be part of the future. I definitely don't see any rentals coming. But I think this is a thing that, you know, it's hard to get emotionally involved in it because if I'm a player on that team, I want to win. I know the organization has a goal that, hey, we got to build and we want to, you know, whatever the term is, you know, it doesn't matter to you in the room. You're there to win hockey games. Same for the coach. You understand that there's a vision, but that has nothing really to do with you or your mindset. But again, then Barry Trotz, he's got a vision. He's got a plan. He's got a long-term plan how he wants this to go. And the guys are really forcing the hand in exactly what those decisions are. Maybe you don't sell off everybody, but I think you know, Barry's definitely going to listen to every call that comes in and see if, you know, something makes sense that, you know, maybe you get a guy now and a prospect instead of just selling everybody, you know, off for as many assets as you can get as they, you know, they kind of did last year. But it's going to be interesting, but he's going to listen to every call and see if it makes sense. There's no question. I think there's a plan in place.
I was Saros last night in particular. There's a look that I know you try to identify early in the game, the way he's moving.
when he's feeling it, when he's connecting all the dots. And I could tell you could see it right away last night, and he sustained it all the way through the game. What is it about that that's noticeable?
Well, it's the anticipation. You're seeing plays happen before they develop. You know, you're able to fight through the traffic in front of you and find pucks being delivered from the outside a lot easier. It's just, you know, the game slows down, and his movements are, you know, more efficient, quick, and powerful. He's just ahead of the game. He's making it look easy. And, you know, there's a lot of situations. LA was a fast team. It was kind of a little bit of a low event game, I think, for the, you know, first two periods. But they would get odd man rushes. They'd get breakaways. And just his body language, not biting on, you know, some of the fakes. I thought the guys that had the breakaways, you know, had some really good moves on Saros. But he was able to, you know, just to stay patient and then, you know, make a really good save in a difficult situation look easy. And you know, that's the other aspect of this whole thing. You know, they're not going to get in without good goaltending, and they need Saros to get to that point that we've seen, you know, a little bit this year, maybe not for as long of stretches as we've seen in the past. But, I mean, his last two games have been spectacular against, you know, high-end opponents. So if he can, you know, get on one of those stretches that we've seen him so often, and a lot of times it happens in the second half. You know, he's had those great runs in the second half, and it's demoralizing for the opposition. And I think you could see, you know, St. Louis get frustrated. I think LA was getting frustrated, and it just forces teams into different decision making. And I think as that game went on, you could kind of see LA try to change their tactics a little bit, and it's just a goaltender can just get into the opposition's head. And you know, everybody knows how good Saros can be, but if he can sustain that, I think that's going to increase their chances so much more to try to get that last wild card.
We've talked about this a lot, and it started to come up in the circles with guys like Elliot Friedman noticing Tommy Novak is starting to play better. He got another point last night. He looks way more confident. He's now playing the game that he can play when he's on, and that's huge for the Predators. He's an important player to them. I would think that to get to the playoffs this year, I would be hard pressed to see if they could make it without him being there at all. But the question is, what's he worth, right? I know all of us have kind of kicked that around because he's a unique player.
It's tough because he's a little bit older. He's had some success. He's also, you know, he's also had some cold stretches, but he's so gifted. He's such a heads up. He's got the ability to slow games down with his heads up play. You just watch him. He's always sticking out his heads up. His anticipation, the way he sets up creating offense by using other guys' momentum, spinning off, and the vision that he has. I think that injury really hurt his stock a lot and just, you know, made it more of a question mark as to what he is. It took him a while to kind of get his game back, which it often does for players when they miss a long stretch. But, you know, now that he's coming, now that you see that talent, you see that ability, that confidence, he doesn't have the same indecision as he did, I think, when he first came back. But he's a special player. You know, he can't find those guys all over the place. He's able to, you know, play, you know, good half wall on the power play and be able to hold the puck and try to set things up and then make the play that's necessary. It's a tough one, but I think if I'm Tommy Novak in his camp, you know, I'm also looking at the opportunity here in Nashville opposed to, you know, maybe going somewhere. Is he going to be a second line center on a contender? You know, if that's the move that happens, or do they wait to the summer? You know, it's got to be the right deal. But for Novak, I think he's in a position where they really value him here. They've given him a great opportunity, and I understand, and I don't blame players for, you know, trying to get their worth. Is it something that you, which Nashville has done a really good job of over the years, is you take a little bit longer term, less, you know, salary per year, but you have that security, and then, you know, maybe try to hit the home run on your next deal. It's tough, but I think, you know, him playing well right now is obviously good for the team's success, good for his value. It's just going to be interesting to, you know, to find out what that landing spot is and if they can get something worked out here and with the Preds.
Chris Mason, C. Mace, appreciate you for stopping by. Enjoy the rest of this road trip. I've heard that you and Willie are on a full tour of California, north to south, south to north, you know, every which way. So we appreciate your time, and we'll chat with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, C. Mace. Chris Mason, he is the very best. All right, coming up next, we'll get into your thoughts on this because we have some reaction, some Predators talk, so we'll get right into your phones. Plus, there was a tweet that was circulating around with Titans fans, and I know that Titans fans were like, oh, my goodness. I don't know the big deal. I don't see the big deal, but we'll discuss it and get into your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Sunday as Vanderbilt women's basketball takes on Arkansas on the road. Pre-game at 1:45 p.m. Tip-off at 2 o'clock with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. A special programming announcement with some very special guests coming up in 10 minutes at the top of the hour. But first, we're into your thoughts. Your phone, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're talking Predators. We're talking the future of the goalie position. And Scott is on the line with a thought on the Nashville Predators. What's up, Scott?
Well, I just, you know, May said he doesn't expect to see a rental. I do hope they're a buyer, and I pointed it out last week that they don't have to give up much for certain rentals like somebody else's bad contract, somebody else's Matt Duchene, and I hope that's the way they go because, you know, somebody that wants to ditch a contract is going to ditch it and not require much in return. But I had a question I've been wanting to ask for a week for Willie, and it's really bugged me. Going back to the Devils game, when, you know, the goal that was reviewed and not allowed, has the league made any statement on that? And is there any recourse? I mean, you know, Mace took the telestrator and shaded in like an inch and a half of ice between the edge of the puck and the blue line. It was clearly in, and I have no idea how they missed it, but that type thing could potentially be the difference in making the playoffs or not. So, I mean, what is there any recourse, or, you know, what has the league said about it, if anything?
There's really nothing you can do once it's over. And I agree with you, Scott. We were dumbfounded on that. And, I mean, the picture doesn't lie. I thought it was conclusive. Now other people disagreed, right? Other people thought, well, it was probably in, but the call on the ice was no goal. So it had to be 100% clear, and the puck was on its edge. So when you don't have the direct overhead camera, blocked the view of the puck. So you had to have another look. And so the look that you referenced, Scott, that was circled by Mace on the telestrator was from the side where you could see white between the edge of, and the, remember the, it's not like a touchdown in football where all the football has to do is break the plane, right? You touch the pylon or you touch the edge of the line. Right. It's a touchdown. In hockey, the puck has to go all the way across the goal line. You have to see white ice after the red goal line. And we saw that. But the puck was on its edge. I still thought, even if any reasonable doubt, that puck is across. The Predators agreed with us. We felt bad because Mace is like, that's a goal. And I'm like, you're right. I see the white ice too. He circled it. And then when they waved it off, we were like, what are we, a couple of idiots here? Like, what are we not seeing here?
Blind?
And right. And you know, we're all looking around. Willie and Mace must be the biggest fools here. We just told the whole audience that that's a goal. Don't worry about it. And now they're like, you idiots. Why'd you tell me that was a goal? Because it is.
It looks like a goal.
It looked like a goal. So we did. What we do after that is we go back and ask. They do send an email during the game. But usually, and this is, they protect themselves. The league will always send an email when there is a review and give a quote explanation. But that explanation almost never goes into detail.
Yeah.
And that's, it just says the puck. And you know, here's the twist that I thought was completely wrong. The referee says the call on the ice is confirmed. And to me, that means, oh, yeah. Our call on the ice was no goal, and we clearly saw that it wasn't a goal. At least he could have said the replay was inconclusive. So we're going with the call on the ice. I would have bought that a little bit more. But just so you know, you get that explanation. And then after the game or the next day, and this is what the Predators did, they bring it to the attention and say, you know, we disagree with the call. Here's the look we had. Can you tell me why you didn't think this was conclusive? Now, what does that get you? Maybe it gets you, maybe, for them to say, you know, you're right. We might have missed that one. I don't know if that makes you sleep better at night, but it doesn't change the result of the call, right? But that was a big goal. Like, that could have changed the outcome of that game. We'll never know.
That is a very frustrating thing about emails that will come out in any league. Mm-hmm. Like in football, they'll get an email the next day of, hey, heads up, we reviewed it. It actually was targeting. And it's like, well, okay, great. We're going to go back and replay the game. Yeah. That doesn't help me very much. All right.
I'll never forget. There was one time when I was in college, I had a meeting with my coach, Eddie Fogler, the day after we lost the game at Vanderbilt to Auburn. And he was in his office with the door open with one of the assistant coaches, Mike Petroni. Petro, I hope you're listening out there. He might be. And he was dictating to Mike Petroni each play. He was going through the video of the game. And he was screaming at Mike Petroni, 14 minutes to go. Foul on Donick or whatever it was, right? And he's editing the tape and he's getting Mike Petroni to write down the things he's going to send to the SEC head of officials, Don Rutledge, which was hilarious. I was scared. I was sitting there going, this is really not the good time to go talk to the coach because he's not in a good mood at all. But I don't know what it coaches. There's nothing you can do, right? You can go and maybe for the benefit of the officials' education, you know, you talk about some things, but does it really help officiating overall? I don't know. You'd have to talk to officials. But maybe it makes the coach just get it all off of his chest and maybe you feel a little bit better about it. I don't know.
Who knows? You can just check a box and say, all right, we did it. We addressed it.
I was like, coach, I'll catch you later. I was going to ask about something, but more playing time for me. But
Maybe now's not the best time. All right, coming up next, a very, very exciting station and programming announcement. And it's really an announcement that is so incredibly exciting for our city. Sports fans in our city will be joined by a couple of very special guests coming up next. I promise you, this is not an announcement that you want to miss. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.